And slow roll.
Here we go. We're back at it.
Recording direct from the 67 T-Bird that we fixed up for the cross-country road trip we went on.
We learned a lot of lessons. Smoked a lot of cigarettes. My teeth are nice and yellow now. We met a hitchhiker buddy.
Yep. Damien.
Damien.
Didn't try to kill us.
He did not, no.
It was just like...
we're going to his son's wedding.
Yeah, yeah. Damien's son, Steven.
There we go. We're really painting a vivid picture for the audience. That's what we've been up to.
Let's do the credits, and then we'll actually do the bit where we talk about... Listener, your dads are
here
back.
Here we go.
We just got back from the open road.
We are back from the open road, and we are back to talk about the Nintendo Power magazines. This is Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast for me and Weston. Dude, we don't have the fucking Pikachu.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
I thought about that earlier.
We'll get back to this, but I'll go ahead and keep introducing this. Welcome back to the Now You're Playing Podcast, the podcast for me and Weston. Read through the Nintendo Power volumes, one volume at a time. We've taken quite a hiatus, and we're a little out of the groove. We promised improved quality, but I think it might be worse.
Yeah, that's
it's unfortunately.
Not only it was just breaking promises right and left.
Yeah,
we want to lower your expectations.
Well, yeah. So that's, but you know, we got a lot done in terms of abandoning you and smoking cigarettes.
We had a great time. Lots has happened since the hiatus, the change in the format began.
I've got a dragon tattoo.
Yep,
on my back.
I also have a dragon tattoo, but it's somewhere else. I went to Six Flags. the one in the valley.
Yeah,
that was at the beginning of the trip because that's pretty close to LA.
Yeah, this is like a nice long road trip.
It's pretty much just LA still.
Yeah.
We drove on one of those roads, like with the lights off, where it's like, it's just a cliff wall. And on the other side, it's a drop.
Ooh, that's a fun time.
Yeah, it was really fun. Smoking lots of cigarettes on that windy road.
Just throwing those cigarette butts right onto the road.
Yep. Into the forest.
Flick out.
It rained a lot in the winter. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a drought anymore. We can do, you know.
Yeah. Take a nice long baths. Just filling up the water, just like letting it fill up all the way to the top. And, you know, maybe don't even get in yet.
Getting a lot of McDonald's Big Macs and just unwrapping them and throwing like both the uneaten hamburger and the wrapper onto the road.
We're not even eating. I'm just dumping McDonald's bags onto the road. It's a lot of littering.
Because we changed our mind. Yeah. We didn't want McDonald's then. We got it and we're just like, you know what? We should get some Panda Express.
Yeah.
We just dump them on the road.
It's just a trail of... discarded fast food to,
you know what I learned
to us
as a dad on the road,
yeah,
abandoning his responsibilities, his family, to go do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And it's time to think about us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was time to think about us. And I learned that was a great thing. And I really understand all of those, deadbeat dads from the 50s to the 90s.
We support those deadbeat dads.
Yeah.
It's, hey man, you only live one life.
You all get a pass.
You're not responsible for your family.
Hey, what are responsibilities but something to be shirked? See? That one's free.
Yeah.
That just popped into my head. I should write a book about being a bum and having no responsibilities.
Why it's okay to leave your family. The book.
But, hey, we came back.
We came back. Hey, yeah, we're back.
We missed
lots
you.
Lots of adventures.
Missed you, listener.
We're a lot more tan.
Speak for yourself.
Kind of like my skin's more wrinkly.
I guess I have freckles. Yeah.
Yeah.
The jowls kicked in because I didn't put sunscreen on my neck.
My eyes are sadder.
I got this like crick in my hips, like what a grandma might have. So if there's a second lesson I learned after all deadbeat dads get a pass, because I get it. The second lesson is make sure you abandon your family soon before your body stops working and you can't.
Yeah. Now that we're kind of shut down, we kind of feel like we need the family again.
Come crawling back, eh? That's what our listeners said to me when I walked into the studio.
So we're back and we're sorry. No, we're not sorry.
Yeah.
You're back and you should be grateful that we're back.
I'm sorry I got that crick in my hip.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't smoke more cigarettes.
Yeah. Amen.
Honestly, to segue into the cover, which is what we normally talk about right away.
Cover.
You know what has deadbeat dad energy?
What's that?
Battletoads.
Hey, you changed on this road trip.
No, absolutely no way the Battletoads stick around to raise those kids.
Yeah, they're definitely, especially the one with the sunglasses. I think the big one, yeah. As Andy calls him, the big one. I feel like two out of the three Battletoads are probably like terrible parents now.
Yeah, maybe the big one sticks around. I mean, I bet the sunglasses one, I feel like he was really into it for a year. And then he just, that didn't stick around.
Comes on real strong when he meets a nice lady frog. Yeah. That's also a person.
He's making big promises to the wife and kid.
I'm going
to
show you the world, baby. And then the kind of mundane horror of starting a family like hits him. And he's just like, I got to get out of here.
He panics. And then what would be the other video game character that the wife would remarry? Like what would be the rebound nice guy from the Battletoad?
One of the lost Vikings. The prince from Prince of Persia. Now he's already married.
Finally finds a nice.
He's doing it for that princess. Yeah, who's the?
Because I don't think Mario would be a good husband.
I think Mario's a loner. Like he's
he doesn't get married.
Maybe he has like a polyamorous like collective thing going on. Like you know,
I could see that.
There's an agreement.
I think Mario would be a good lover.
Yes. Yeah. But he's got to go, you know, he's got to go into space to save all the shines.
Yeah. He's got stuff to do.
He's got to wear a water backpack.
Maybe just like she married an Animal Crossing guy.
Oh my God.
Just an Animal Crossing.
One of the elephants.
She married an elephant.
So yeah. Pimple or Zitz, which battle?
Maybe
Pimple's the big one, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know it's like pimple rash. Isn't one of them's a rash?
You should explain. Like, yeah, it's the Battletoad with the sunglasses and like the red tie on his arm is kind of front and center on the cover here. Oh, dude, what if she left him for one of the double dragons?
Oh, shit. Kids. Oh, that's
because this
point.
Cover is Battletoads and double dragons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think did we already talk about the Super Nintendo one? This is the NES version.
I don't know if we've talked about it or not.
They're subjecting us to three Battletoads games in this issue.
It's a nightmare.
One in every system. You just can't get away.
I think you're right with that. She remarried a double dragon guy.
Was it Bimmy or Jimmy? I think it was Bimmy.
Yeah, I think Bimmy sounds right. Yeah, what a weird combo. This is odd. It's like this weird game. Battletoads and Double Dragons is like a game where I'm like, man, for some reason, I'm both extremely interested and extremely uninterested at the same time. It's somehow both.
It really breaks the Double Dragon lore to have them in a space adventure.
But, honestly, or I think alternatively versus remarrying, I think maybe the Battletoads all left their families to go chill with the Double Dragon bros.
Yeah, like a polyamorous collective thing going on.
Mailbox.
How's that for your button?
Yeah.
Give me that Pikachu. We're here at Player's Pulse. It's the mailbox. Everybody sends in their letters
to the magazine and we read them.
I just want to call out one of my new enemies, Steve Geiger from Santa Rosa, CA. He doesn't like the Star Fox comic. He thinks it's too long.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think he's the reason they ended the comic this issue?
Well, we will talk about that later, but the kids are not loving the comics, it seems. I mean, that's kind of been a pattern. Most of the kids don't love the comics, but I mean, I somewhat agree. These aren't great comics. Like even the Star Fox one, it looks beautiful, but like, it's not the best story. It's not like,
yeah.
The only one I would really back up and say this one is like, I like both the writing and the comic aspect, like the drawings and stuff, is the Mario one. Otherwise, the other ones have all been, maybe the Battletoads one.
I mean, that's a masterpiece.
Yeah. But otherwise, the rest of them, I do feel like aren't
we may not
great.
Be, yeah.
In terms of writing, I think the art is undoubtedly, like undebatably just beautiful. I think the art's been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No question there. They're great looking comics. And we've spoken many, many times about how great that Mario comic is.
Yeah.
But like, there's also the thing where comic reader boys, they like, have you ever been at like a house party and there's this guy like, you got to read this comic. It's the best. And it's the most grimdark garbage you've ever heard.
No, I've not. But that sounds funny.
That's happened a few times to me.
Yeah.
Where it's just, yeah. It, like somebody pitched the original, the Boys comic, which
yeah.
I think the show is incredible.
Yeah.
Because the show is it's a massive improvement on the comic.
Oh, no. Yeah. I still need to watch. I don't know anything about the Boys, but I for some reason, YouTube is just sending me clips of Homelander character moments.
Yeah.
And it's kind of spoiling major moments, honestly. But from the outside, I'm like interested in this character.
It is a superhero horror satire.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, because like, what if superheroes were real? They'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's extremely funny.
Yeah. Damn. Fuck. I feel like I don't expect myself to like love. For some reason, this is like, it's the kind of like dark satire that it's just like, I feel like I need to be like outside of reality a little bit. Like, I think Succession's a little too close to real life. Where,
yeah, it's a little too close to. I hear that a lot from people.
And then The Boys is like, I bet I'm going to love it. So I'm excited to read that.
I think what I was trying to say, because I'm not sure if it made sense, was that it feels like the kind of comics that your average boy comic reader might want are just not these.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, these are too super soft by comparison.
You're saying like we would need like Mario to cut Bowser's face off and put it on and
yeah,
like something just gruesome and brutal?
Yeah.
Or hornier? Do you think hornier?
Yeah, for sure, hornier.
Yeah, these haven't been extremely horny, other than the Zelda boy taking care of the guy's wife.
Yeah, but that might have been just like an entendre, or a mistake. We have to acknowledge that it might have just been like we were reading too much into it, like that Folgers commercial with the brother and sister.
But like, sexuality does not exist in the world of Howard and Esther. Like, no one, there's no sex drive at all. Except for creepy super. I don't know.
Part of it is there's like, it's all sexless men. They're like Ken dolls down there. Yeah, there's something just weird about it. But I mean, if you want to level that criticism, Peanuts is kind of a sexless universe.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with the lack of sex and violence in these comics. But the kids aren't. They're mad about it.
Do you think Steve grew up to be like a joyless, art averse tech bro? Do you think that the problem here is not the comic, it's the reader? I don't get all these stories with characters and they're just connecting and talking to each other.
The only reason I wouldn't is because I do agree that the writing's kind of bad on a lot of these comics. So that's, if we're talking serious right now, I do kind of agree with him. And they could be hornier. I'm kidding. There's a picture of like three boys and I feel like if I just glanced at it quickly, I would think it was a family photo of mine. My little brother was always this little weird kid who would never wear clothes. It's one of them. Like every family video, my little brother's just like the only person in the house just not wearing clothes.
He just hates clothes.
He hates clothes.
Wants to take them off. Hey, I get it. Inconvenient.
Did you ever, like as a kid, hate jeans? I remember like it took me a while to be like, I don't want to fucking wear jeans. No? You don't relate to that at all?
I don't remember being young. I'm trying to remember, like I look back on the stuff I used to wear and it's like, and you couldn't have bought, I understand now why it happened. Cause you see a bunch of pictures of me and it's like super baggy clothes, but that's because I was like growing. So the parents are probably like, this is your pair of shorts for like the next 6 months to a year. So let's just get them bigger.
I mean, look, I probably shouldn't say this since I guess I'm technically working in fashion, but if we lived in a world where everyone wore black shorts and a white t-shirt and it was comfy, I think that I'd be happier in that world.
So you want to be like on a space mission?
Yeah, I want to be on a space mission.
All right, I get it.
Or like Star Trek. I'd like maybe have like colored shirts to like say our rank.
Yeah, yeah. And like
create a system.
I'm a security guy. You're a captain guy. You know, this is a science person.
I'm in for that.
There's a letter here from a guy named Robert Kelly, also a California CA writer. And he took over playing Legend of Zelda from his kid. He's a school teacher in Sacramento.
Yeah, very fun. I'm always so
He died 465 times, but he finished the game.
He finished the game.
He said it took 100 hours, which seems like a lot for Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, but maybe it did.
Also, it's interesting because he said that he then started replaying it and trying to do it like in less lives. And like that's such a thing that like, I guess maybe nowadays, like that's speedrunning or something. I think that I don't feel like happens anymore. Like we never track how many deaths you have. But maybe I'm sure there's a community that still does that though.
Yeah, you know, like in a game like Trackmania or something, like racing games, mm-hmm. getting the time lower feels like the same thing.
Yeah.
I also saw the editor's corner is real rich. Oh, we should talk about the contest too. Both of these are interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because we get to see who won the Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince contest, which fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
So they got to hang out with Will Smith. DJ Jazzy Jeff. And it was these two girls got to go to a taping of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah, that's huge.
Fucking dope. I think that's one of the contests that would have been super fun because Will Smith seems like a guy that's like,
yeah, he seems like
not gonna be a weird asshole. He's gonna be cool,
nice, genuine guy. You just gotta keep his wife's name out of your mouth and perfectly.
That's only recent. Like this is before he even met Jada Pinkett Smith, right?
Yeah, honestly, he's just in a toxic relationship. He's got a sweetheart under all that.
He's getting as we watch the stars of the 90s and 2000s age, they're kind of veering off in their own direction. Jack Black is becoming a lovable Santa Claus. Will Smith is working through some stuff. I don't know.
Jack Black is a lovable Santa Claus.
God, he's the best. Last thing for me is this Gail Tilden, the editor-in-chief of Nintendo Power. What does she have to say this time? Oh, yeah, she's talking a bunch of shit about other game magazines.
Dude, they're getting really brutal. They're getting cutthroat.
It's because they're losing business to Sega. They're getting sassy.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
Apparently she got some heat for not talking about a game until it was ready to come out. Whereas mm-hmm. other magazines would do like scoops and previews.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is a thing Nintendo does a few times in this issue where they're like, actually you're wrong and we're right. But they do it in the most boring and obnoxious way possible.
Yeah.
And so she's talking about, you know, you guys are accusing us of getting scooped by other publications, but instead of trying to do a feature review on a game that may not be complete, we'll give the game coverage in our Pack Watch section. It's also our policy to print in-depth information that has been approved for release by the game's publisher. Wow. All right. How would it make squares?
Lame.
Boo.
Lame.
Nerds. How would it make you feel to see a game hyped on the cover of Nintendo Power only to find out that there was only... Oh, she does use only twice in the sentence. Only to find out that there was only a small article with a few screenshots inside, which is an amazing dig at how games magazines have worked for decades.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's almost like original clickbait.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, are we getting the cover, that whole thing? So it is lame. Also, that note at the end, she's kind of got a point because that shit.
Yeah.
Because they want to sell magazines.
I agree. They have points, but they we'll talk about this later. But I think they're digging their heels a little too hard.
It's just so uncool.
Yeah.
They're so uncool.
Yeah. All right.
Did you say we're talking about Bob?
Yeah, we're talking about Bob. Yeah, I've never played this game.
B-O-B.
B-O-B, Bob. It's like a robot game where the only reason I thought this was interesting is it's got a very weird setup. It's like a platforming game, but it just starts with the cutscene of you borrowing your parents' car. You're like a robot in a space world, but you're a robot who borrowed your robot parents' robot car. And you're driving it through space and you're going on a date and you're so excited for that date. And then you hit the asteroid. And you're like, oh, shit, I'm going to miss that date. And that's the whole driving force.
You have to play a video game to go on your date.
Yeah, play a video game to go to the date.
Tell me you haven't borrowed the parents' car to go on a date and things have gone horribly wrong.
I don't relate to that.
All right.
And so I guess you just go through this game and you go through like multiple stages. And then at the very end, you get like a hentai fuck scene with the date. And that's
is the that game. True?
No,
I have played this game. It's fine.
Did you get to the end?
No, I just watched the fuck scene on YouTube. All right, I watched it on. wait, what's a site that would host that? Spank Bang.
Was it? You said you play. Was it? Is it a good game outside of like?
It's pretty. I would put it in the top half of NES platformers, but I didn't. I remember finding it intriguing in the magazine.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like this like trippy like borrowing your parents' car. Like it's just a weird way to start. It almost feels like I just like trippy stuff. So it's like a trippy way to end. And like honestly, I was more excited right away because like I would love if it was like you would hit a few stages, then you'd do like a date sim
It's like Mrs. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, totally. So I wish there was a little bit of more. It seems like it just has that start and then it turns into a normal game after that. But whatever.
It's a Mortal Kombat, like side-scrolling fight thing. And instead of saying fight, it says survive the date.
Did you ever borrow your parents' cars for a date?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I never really. So you like dated in high school or middle school? I really didn't.
Not really in middle school.
Not middle school. But
who really dated in middle school?
Yeah, middle school was like a confused, like it almost feels like, you know, you're like a kid and you're like, well, this is what my parents, like this is what people do, I guess. So I guess like you're trying to copy what people do.
Big Mouth's, who's the couple that are practically, I think they are actually married in later seasons of the show, but yeah. They're in like seventh grade. I thought that was a pretty funny dig at like that kind of person where in junior high, it's like, no, we're going to be together forever. It's like a real great relationship. This is my soulmate. And it's like, no, you're 13. You have no idea what's going on.
I wonder if anyone's ever, you know how like there's high school sweethearts, like being a middle school sweetheart would be very impressive.
I can't think of any.
I don't think that's possible.
Bob has a lot of different guns he can shoot. I respect that.
I'm sure that the girl's gonna love that. Or is Bob?
Heyo. We got Tasmania. This is the kind of setup for this game's interesting. Like, it's kind of a racer, but you're controlling the Tasmanian devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
It's very, you know, if you need a touch point, if you're not familiar with this game, the kind of going into and out of the screen levels of Crash Bandicoot is similar to how this game works.
It's also kind of reminds me of like those Sonic Run levels. Like sometimes like you get those weird 3D levels, mm-hmm. like where you jump into a big ring. Kind of reminds me of that.
I just remember this game, you eat a lot of little yellow kiwi birds and you grab them and you chomp them and there's like a little puff of feathers and you get health.
That's kind of fun. Is there a hentai fuck scene at the end?
Yeah, it's a tornado and like there's a big orgy in the Tasmanian Devil's tornado, and you just see like, you know, like a Daffy Duck arm, and like Bugs Bunny and Lola Bunny.
That sounds great.
Sylvester the cat, weirdly, the cat from the Pepe Le Pew
thing. I think
things.
Sylvester's got sex appeal.
Sylvester is like the. What's
I mean, I actually don't
know. Sylvester's the fittest Looney Tune.
All right. Yoshi's Cookie.
Hey.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
It's the SNES version of Yoshi's Cookie.
Fresh out of the oven. Smell those cookies. It's just a puzzle. It's one of those. It's weird because it's like, you know, this is kind of like an era where they're just like making puzzle games and like tying it to an IP. Like it's like, it's weird that like Dr. Mario. Is it like Yoshi's Cookie feels like a game that's kind of forgotten, yet Dr. Mario is still a thing?
This is the second Yoshi-based puzzle game, too, because there was that other one, Yoshi, where you are flipping plates with stacks of enemies on them.
Huh. I don't remember that one.
If I had to play... I mean,
Wario's Woods?
I don't even remember what... Is that just Yoshi's Cookie again?
Kind of. I mean, yeah.
This one's it's a grid of stuff, and you're matching things by sliding... rows and columns, right?
Yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know. This feels very kind of more like a Candy Crush style.
This is like Meteos.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I feel like every single time I see these, it's just like, it's not Tetris. Sorry.
Or Hexic or Luminous.
Weirdly, the PSP, right, had like a bunch of really good.
Oh, Every Extend Extra.
Puzzle games.
Oh my God, so many good. Patapon.
Oh, dude, I love
Patapon.
But Patapon's not really a puzzle game. Would you consider that a puzzle?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it's more like Lemmings or something. Where it's like, I got to get a group of things into a goal.
Yeah, I love Patapon. Yoshi's Cookie, though, I haven't really played, so I don't really have much to say about it. But it feels like an iconic game. And
you think so?
No. I mean, it has Yoshi in it.
Yeah, but you don't play as well, or do you play as... I don't even see Yoshi in the game. Is it just like... Yeah. Is it Yoshi's Cookie recipes? And then he, because it looks like Mario is the one on the screen.
Maybe like feed the, I mean, Yoshi eats. So maybe like you feed the Yoshi cookies at the end.
If you go on Spank Bang, there's a there's a video of the cutscenes that happen between levels. And it's Mario just hitting Yoshi in the head over and over while Yoshi slaves over an oven. making them cooks.
And there, some people love it.
Some people love it. 13,000 views.
but it's got a loyal fan base. Small but loyal. All right.
Okay. How am I going to set this up? Okay. So in this era, because this is like summer 1993, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sega, if you've ever read like Console Wars or know about the Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo mm-hmm. battle, Nintendo went from something like 98% of the market in the 80s, and mm-hmm. Sega caught up, and they actually outsold them in North America.
Oh.
So more than half of the 16-bit market was Sega. So for a brief time, they were kicking, well, not quite kicking their butt, because it was like even.
Yeah.
But
taking a big bite of the pie.
Yeah. And Nintendo, not happy about that.
Yeah, they were pissed.
And one of the ways that Sega kind of took jabs at Nintendo is their dorky messaging. And Sega's, you know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. And like the commercials all ended with a guy screaming, Sega, Sega, yeah. You know. And so Nintendo felt like they needed to fight back.
Yeah, they sharpened the knives a little bit for this. This whole article is literally just a stab back at Sega.
Yeah, so this is called Power U. It's like Power University. Welcome to Nintendo Power U. Already so lame. The first video... The first Videoversity where you can get the facts straight. Forget all the rumors and hype you've heard about video game systems. The first class was designed around questions sent in by our top students of videology. Learn it. Know it. Spread it around. So...
I mean, I feel like we could just read this whole section and be entertaining, but we probably shouldn't.
So it's them attempting. Okay. It's them attempting to respond to marketing. For example, the first question, does the SNES have blast processing, which was Sega's kind of marketing thing.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's faster. Cause look at Sonic Go and Mario slow. And
it doesn't really make sense, but
the Sega Genesis processor was clocked at like 7.5 megahertz. Whereas the SNES one was like 2 point something.
Okay.
And they talk about it in the article, but it's like, they've written like 200 words of dense. Like, no, you don't understand. That's a marketing. It doesn't mean anything. Processors are complicated.
Yeah.
You got to think about the central bus on a chipset also. Yeah,
they were and like started going to like this traffic metaphor,
oh my
like
God. This
traffic. And then they're like, you know, sometimes processors like traffic, you know, it's more about like learning how to direct traffic in an intelligent way. And it's
which
like,
is true.
Sometimes you can like, sometimes traffic's backed up and they're like, you might like a bunch of other cars or there might be like a crash or you might run over a hedgehog. They said that. They threatened Sonic.
Threatened to kill Sonic.
They did. They threatened to run over Sonic. And they jabbed back to them.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so the metaphor is good because that is an important way to think about processors.
Yeah.
Because if your processor is super fast and it's like a one lane road where like the traffic is slow.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't help because it's getting bottlenecked.
Yeah.
And that's true. Like the SNES, I think, had a wider bus or some shit.
Yeah.
And, like more RAM closer to the processor. So it kind of came out in the wash. Can I
also read a line?
Yeah.
Blast processing means that Sega programmers now know what they're doing. Makes you wonder how long they've been stuck in traffic.
Oh, so lame. It's so like it's. There's also so they have a couple of it looks like the Nestor's Adventures comic artist here has done a couple of panels on this page. So they're talking about how many more colors the Super Nintendo has access to versus the Genesis.
Yeah.
So I think the Genesis was 256 colors total.
I mean, it's wild too, because that section is so contradictory because there's two sections as well. There's one talking about CD-ROMs versus the Super FX chip.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, the CD-ROM has better graphics, but that better graphics doesn't mean shit. Fuck better graphics. It's all about good game design. You like Star Fox? Yeah. Well, Star Fox rules. Here's this game that's like Super Shark. This game sucks. It has good graphics, but this game sucks. It's about good game design. Then in the color one, they're immediately like, graphics are so important. You want a great color scheme. It was immediately contradictory.
I get what they're saying. And as somebody who lived through the CD era, they're right. Like,
yeah, like
Star Fox is more fun than Sewer Shark.
Totally. But it's weird that they immediately then start talking about color, about how, like, it's weird to do that big, like, graphics don't matter. It's all about game design. Then go into color palette and be like, well, graphics are great. Right?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Or you're with them. You're Team Nintendo.
No, well, I don't remember it. The Genesis did not have the color depth or the graphical prowess of the Super Nintendo, but mm-hmm. it kind of didn't matter. It was one of those things where it was like, you can kind of do the same games on both is how it shook out.
Mm-hmm.
Both systems if you go look at like the best games for each system, like they're all are the games that came out on both. It's kind of similar. They're obviously 16-bit games. Probably in the era they were more sassy about it.
Yeah, it's like more nuance.
Genesis has 512 colors available, whereas Nintendo the SNES had 32,000, but you could do 256 at a time.
I thought that was interesting. That was like an interesting, like you have this big palette, but you can commit to only a certain. Which honestly, that seems like actually that might have like, you know, creativity in a box. Like that seems like that could have been like a cool thing because it makes you like make choices. But like,
yeah,
it's just an interesting idea. I didn't know that's how that worked.
There's a Super Nintendo sprite sheet late in the magazine that they put in here that I thought was really cool. Okay,
I got a few. Okay, but you okay? Go.
Once upon a time, I had a boss who was like a mentor around sales and marketing.
Uh-huh.
And he told me once that when it comes to marketing strategy, you want to make it so that when your competitor says the opposite of what you say, they sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I took that to mean that it was like, you want to figure out a strategy so that, you know, it's like, well, we do X. And then when somebody says, well, we don't want to do X, we want to do Y, it sounds like, well, we don't want to have people able to afford homes. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was something like that. But I think he may have also been talking about this, where Nintendo is coming back saying like, blast processing isn't real. CD-ROMs aren't that good. And all those things are true. But the fact that they're saying them makes them sound lame.
Yeah, it makes them. Yeah, totally. It makes them feel like they're losing.
Yes, even though they may not be. Even though Super Nintendo is more powerful, even though the technology is better, it doesn't matter.
That's a good point, because like again, and we also buy, we're like emotional creatures, so like that stuff does matter, like in terms of marketing.
100%.
And because I was agreeing, like I was reading this and I was like, I think you're right. Like mega processing, that sounds like absolute bullshit. That sounds like a marketing bullshit ploy. Oh yeah, a lot of their points, I'm like, I do think you're right in this. I think some of them were a little less valid and there might have been a little contradictory, but a lot of the time I was like in my notes being like, yeah, I think I agree. I think this is like Sega was being bullshitty and you're calling them out. But at the same time, I didn't like Nintendo. This whole time I was reading this, I'm like, fuck you, Nintendo. You're a little bitch.
Yeah. If you read Console Wars, it's from the point of view of like Tom Kalinske and Sega of America.
Yeah.
And Nintendo feels like this stuffy kind of like backwards, like you want Sega to stick it to them. You want them to be fun and to shake things up and to find cool ways of competing.
And I get how we might have been rooting for the bad guy. Or like, I mean, obviously there's no good or bad guy, but like I get how this is like a very strange, nuanced thing.
It reminds me also of like, you know, like when a bully's picking on you and it's like, what do you say back to the bully?
Yeah, you say nothing. And addressing it is,
oh, are you stupid? No, actually, I'm very smart. And it's like,
no,
that's the wrong.
You say, yeah, I'm an idiot. And then they stop bullying you.
Yeah, touche.
That's a really good point. Interesting. This is a very interesting. Like, I do want to point out one quick line before like we get fully. But they say, how come Nintendo doesn't make sports games? And they say, wake up and go to the store.
That was the one where I was like, oh, my God. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Like, that was the moment where it hit me, what I was just saying.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, we have 50 games. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They lost. Yeah. They lost that battle. Oh my God. And it blew my mind because I never considered like saying the right thing. I mean, I guess we have lots of sports games too, is not good marketing.
Yeah.
They could have just skipped right to the part where it's like, not only do we have sports games that they couldn't even put on the Genesis. Look at this crazy Mode 7 game Spectrum Holobyte made, which is in the write-up.
Honestly, I think a spread of Mario just pissing on Sonic would have been better than this. That would have been a better response.
Pissing into Sonic's cupped hands. See, it's that polyamorous collective, man. Mario's... who knows what Mario gets up to when he's not in the Mushroom Kingdom?
Like, honestly, from like a logical standpoint, I don't know if that would have been a worse response than this.
this is just fast. I would put this up there. I'm trying to think of if any of the other features were more interesting than this one.
I really like the CD stuff just because like
that was great.
That's like a big part of history of video games.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this was so funny. Okay, that was really the whole meat of the
that's the issue.
That's the issue, guy. Okay, so Battletoads, unfortunately. My first thought was last time, these Battletoads is like a triple feature. They're going over like three Battletoads games.
Yeah,
last...
and this is the Super Nintendo one, Battletoads and Battlemaniacs.
I can't think about how shafted we're getting because we did not get a follow-up to the Battletoads comic.
That's what I'm fucking talking about.
Like, last time...
It's my only note.
Yeah, that's honestly kind of it. So I think Battletoads and Battlemaniacs, from what this looks like, I don't know if I'm wrong on this, but it seems like just a better graphics version of the first Battletoads.
It really looks very... It has the same... Because the second level was a vertical level.
Yeah, no, the second level is the vertical level. The third level, as in Battletoads, is the turbo tunnel. They've got like the snake level. Like I know Battletoads enough. I think this is the same game, but just reskinned.
We could always talk more about how the Battletoads are bad at being parents. we can correctly also identify which toad is which. Oh, they don't actually say. Oh, never mind. No, one of them is captured. So you can play as the big one and you can play as the sunglasses one.
Oh, is that how they like justify the fact that you can't?
Pimple and Rash. I'm pretty sure Rash is the sunglasses one, right?
I don't know.
This is pretty embarrassing. I mean, imagine not knowing which Ninja Turtle was which.
Yeah.
Like, even we all know this.
I actually don't know. Okay. You know what? Let's just skip this whole Battletoads section.
Well, we got to do the
centerfold.
I love the centerfold. I think it looks fucking cool. It is.
Oh, mine weirdly is like, I didn't even notice it. Mine's not showing up in mine.
So
I missed that.
It is a super dope, like really kind of minimal in the tradition of the Jurassic Park movie posters.
Damn.
Like it is the park logo on like a red sunset background and like a bunch of palm trees in silhouette. Dope. It looks so good.
Damn.
And all I was reminded of was I love the music for like the Game Boy and Nintendo Jurassic Park games. They're mm-hmm. whatever. That Super Nintendo game is really moody. It's a whole vibe. And it just reminded me of like the Jurassic Park vibe. Like it's kind of quiet and ominous.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
Damn.
So much love for this.
Yeah, that's a great. I've never even seen Jurassic Park in that this boat. It's crazy.
You haven't seen the movie?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I watched Alien for the first time, finally.
Oh, you've been talking about that for years.
That's good shit.
Wait, I want to know.
That's good shit.
How you liked it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Man, that movie's fantastic.
It weirdly sticks with you. Like, when I watched it, I don't think I like was like, oh my God, this is so good. But I just, it hasn't left my brain.
The stuff with Mother, like the air vent stuff. Like, there's so much.
It's just that cyborg who's got milk blood. That's what, just trying to choke someone with a rolled up that is the creepiest way to kill someone.
I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think what you're doing is jamming so it's rolled up magazine, but like if you let the inside rolls of the magazine drop into the throat, you're like cutting off the airway.
Yeah.
With like kind of a soft barrier.
I want to put that scene in anything. I just want to like copy that scene and put it like any.
Don't do the chest burster scene, which is amazing. It's just been copied so much.
No, I don't care. I mean, it's crazy because I've seen it that parodied so much and that's in everything. So
Spaceballs.
It doesn't really mean anything at this point. But holy shit, if you were like in that theater with this being a brand new movie and having that happen,
can you imagine?
Oh my God, I feel like what did that like crowd sound like when that happened? Were people just fucking jumping?
I always confuse John and William Hurt. Who was the guy who gets chest bursted? His performance is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like all the actors in that scene, like they do the thing where what's her face? I can't remember the name of the crew at all like Dallas and Ripley and Ash. But like her surprise scream,
yeah,
is amazing. Like it's so good, and that was supposedly real when they shot it because they didn't tell them what was going to happen. They just brought him in, and it was all set up. Like he was in the chest burst rig. The actor was,
whoa.
And they just punched that thing through his chest, and there's blood everywhere. And they're all just like, ah,
that's awesome,
fucking cool,
man. What a movie!
What a great movie.
Okay,
yeah. You want to take a break before we do the
Star Fox? Yeah, I think this was a very top heavy.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast.
Are you ready?
This is the Beer Break, brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
Hey, I'm Nestor. Glub up that beer, my friend.
Here we go!
Okay, all right. Hey, all right, Nintendo team. During this trade show, if anyone in journalism comes up to you and brings up the Sega Blast Power, I'm just curious, what would your response to that be?
Blast processing is a buzzword that doesn't actually mean anything.
No, okay, it's, no. We're going to shut up that nerd stuff. Okay. What you're going to say is, hey, Blast Power, look how tiny your little bones are. I could eat you for fucking lunch. I want to blast every bone out of your body until you're a little thin sheet of skin, and I'm going to grab that and turn it into a sail, and I'm going to sail over to your fucking family, and I'm going to kill your fucking family. Sonic's dumb. Mario rules. I'm the king of the world. So yeah, something around that, like that. Okay, now kind of grab that energy and go for that.
So the main processor in the Sega Genesis runs at 7 megahertz,
all right,
which is technically faster.
I want to punch you in the face right now.
But like, no, think about it like a city's traffic system.
Okay, I'm gonna blast you in the face. Keep doing this.
All right, let's get back to the guys.
Not a single molecule in my body wanted to go to Paris or like was interested in that. And as soon as I was there, I was like, oh yeah, this is fucking awesome. I'm in.
I just
walking like, around, looking at shit. Interesting looking buildings. I want to go anywhere that's not a modern city. Anywhere that, like, every city that's modern looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
Bring me anywhere where it's not that, but it's still a city. Give me a city that has different architecture.
Give me a place that's covered in graffiti, that just has a bunch of cafes where I can get a cappuccino and sit there and do nothing for a couple hours. That's...
Where's that?
Berlin. But Chris also, Berlin. Like, any European city, you're going to have those Parisian-style street cafes.
Yeah.
Just get a coffee.
Yeah.
Chill out. Maybe a little pastry thing.
So, I mean, honestly, talk about us like abandoning our kids. You know, I was smoking so many cigarettes there.
Yeah. You know what? Kids, your dads have been talking. We're changing the format again. We got to go to Europe.
And they have like the thing where they have to like put like scary things on the cigarette case.
Oh, yeah. Like the blackened lungs.
Yeah. Like a person with, like lung can't like cloudy eyeballs. But it was kind of fun. I'm like, hey, which one do you get? I got cloudy eyes. Look at that.
Those French cigs are gross. Or at least the ones that I've had.
Yeah.
The blue ones, the red ones.
Okay. Let's go. Star Fox. All right. We're back at the Star Fox comic book. It's been a bit since we've recorded this.
Like we just did, I guess. They just decided to wrap things up.
Yeah. Well, so this is kind of like marketed as the last one, but we know there's more to it because we did a mock episode where we read a comic book.
Oh shit. Did we really?
It seems like this is the last one. Like this seems like the end, but apparently there is more because we've read more.
Okay. I feel better now because this felt really abrupt.
Yeah. I think maybe it's like kind of a fake out.
So, yeah, like General Pepper finds out that his pilots have run away with all his spaceships.
Yeah.
And flown to the enemy home planet.
Yep. it's just the Star Fox gang. Again, like at one point, these were like nuanced characters, but at this point, they're just kind of like these little chaos balls that are just doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, this is just plot and action.
No character motivation at this point. They're just kind of we at one point thought like, they're introducing like a lot of cool stuff of them being like these kind of like underdog outlaws and
Fox has those anger issues. Yeah, stuff with his dad is yeah.
Falco like beat the shit out of Fox.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
They had a lot of interesting stuff, but it's kind of all gone at this point. And we're just starting off with like them. They snuck these ships off, and we're just kind of doing like ship battle stuff.
It's cool. It's cool art. The black hole stuff all looks awesome. It's all super surreal. There's a spaceship graveyard full of super FX ships. Little polygonal Mobius style spaceships in space.
The color palette's great when they're like, because in actual Star Fox, there's like that trippy like hyperspace world where like suddenly the palette turns very like synthwave or is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's really synthwavy. It's like gradient backgrounds with like undulating colors and stuff.
So it's very that.
And then Fox's dad leads Fox out of the black hole, and only Fox saw him.
Yeah, and then like but they get through it, and like which is also kind of lame. They like did all this stuff of like this is impossible. No one can go through a black hole, and this whole comic is just all the characters going through the black hole and getting out unscathed.
They did it in 10 panels.
Yeah, and like in like no ten. They didn't like bother to try to build any tension into it. It was just kind of like this very pulp. It's like, whoa, look at this, and they're going through like some cool colors, and they're out.
Yeah, my instinct
that was like the big event that they've been like alluding to for like the whole fucking comic series. And it was 10 panels of nothing.
My instinct as a storyteller is you'd want to spend time, like the characters have to go through something in the black hole, right?
And like the characters aren't even like doubt. There's no like character being like, oh, I'm scared to do this. They're just all just like going in this black hole full speed and make it out. Like there was no effort of tension being layered into this.
I want an entire issue of the comic where it's, you know, Fox and Farrah in the black hole. And then Falco comes after them with, I guess, Slippy and the rabbit are sharing an R-wing. Peppy.
Yeah. I want Peppy or.
And you know, they maybe shoot at each other a little bit.
Shooting at each other.
And they're fighting and like.
They're angry at each other.
Shit out. Like.
Falco says, your dad died because he doesn't love you.
Yeah. And Fox is like, no, my dad died because, you know, the military industrial complex.
Slippy's like puking into a bucket saying we're all going to die.
That feels like all the stuff that came before, like the anger issues, the things like it feels like a place where you'd work that stuff out. And they just, you know, and I understand.
That's a really good point. Yeah. But
so the Star Fox team comes through on the other side as a team again.
This is like the underground. This is like going like into the subconscious. Like, I don't know. There's so much you could. You're right. They could be dealing with like all their subconscious stuff while they're in this trippy like subconscious world. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm down.
And Fox and Falco need to reconcile because Fox is the only one that has the way out because he can see his ghost dad who has become the black hole, apparently.
But instead, nothing happens and they just get out. And then the only good thing that happens is Sergeant Pepper says, they survived the black hole. Someone get me a fresh lolly.
Yeah, lollipop. The man loves his lollipops.
He loves his lollipops.
The dog loves it.
Yeah.
So they get into a huge battle over Venom.
And like now suddenly they're buddies. It's like Falco just beat the shit out of him and tried to steal his car. And then they like all just kind of like group up together and like, oh, buddy, wouldn't miss this battle. It like just suddenly turns into like Marvel dialogue of like.
I still don't understand why Farrah sided with Fox and let him out.
It's all gone. That little kid who hates this comic book is right. There's nothing here. It's just pictures.
He's wrong because it's not long because it ends. I guess it keeps going. I don't know. There's some cool space battle scenes here though. I'm enjoying all the explosions and colors.
Yeah, the explosions colors look good. They like just. I mean, this is so. I mean, granted, it's like a fake ending, but like it's just there's no. They're pretty much just rushing to the like end game stuff, and I feel nothing other than being like the art looks cool.
Okay, so one thing they did that I think is interesting is their depiction of the actual gameplay is pretty dead on. Like,
yeah,
this is what the final boss of Andross, like the floating shape with all the polygons.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the game.
Totally. And I mean, like, again, like in the Mario, like kind of like the Mario movie, which just came out, which we haven't talked about on this podcast. So I want to go on record. I like the Mario comic book more than the movie.
I haven't seen the movie yet,
but
I watched Dungeons and Dragons instead. Hey, and you know what?
You liked it?
I loved it.
I watched Game Night for the first time, which is by the same people, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah, I liked it.
Dungeons and Dragons has great. Lego movie energy.
Whoa.
I almost expected them to cut to like a family playing Dungeons and Dragons or something, which I'm glad they didn't because that would have meant that like the son and the daughter were playing characters who are in love or something. It's a little weird, but there's definitely a like it feels so much like a meta, like this is what it's like to play a game.
Yeah. Whereas something like this is just being like, hey, you should be playing the game instead of reading this.
Yeah.
So yeah, Andross is doing Andross shit. Shit's blowing up. No story significance.
Blow up the pig. They shoot him in his weak spot.
There's like this robot pig that Andross is with who is a data piggy bank, which I'm in for that. That's fun.
It's the second time they've referenced data pigs in the comic. And that's probably the best part of the comic at this point.
Yeah. I like that.
And then they get out of there and then General Pepper is like, I guess I'll have to promote them. The end.
Which is also, and then it's just like the end as if it does feel like, if I didn't know that there's more comics because we have read some of these later issues, it seems like it's like the end. I thought is an interesting point that I just thought of is.
What?
We felt like the Zelda comic wasn't amazing because they were just kind of like beholden and following the plot beats of the video game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this comic book didn't start like that. It felt like they actually were inventing cool stuff and they were like adding all this like lore and like interesting things that were outside of the game. And then suddenly in this volume, this literally is just a page spread of them going through like the level, just going through like a level of Star Fox. they're following the story of Star Fox, which is just like pictures.
Do you think Benmara Ito is the artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is also the writer. Do you think the creator or creators got reined in, where it's like, we want to do a weird Mobius style space adventure, and after a while, Nintendo's like, nah, man, do the Venom level.
Yeah, they were like, hey, Falco beating the shit out of Fox isn't getting more kids to. Oh, I mean, the thing is, though, I would say that, like, the only problem is, like, I feel like in these earlier episodes, everything was, like, a little glimpse of something interesting, but they never really ever paid off on it. Like, even that, like, my favorite moment where I really thought I was going to like this comic book was when Falco was just beating the crap out. Like, it was, like,
Fox it's really being, shocking. Yeah.
Fox is being, like, an arrogant dickhead who's going to get himself killed, and his buddy just beats the shit out of him. And I was like, oh, my God. But by that same comic, by the end of it, all characters motivate. Like, characters didn't make sense by the end of it. Like,
yeah, that was the one where it fell apart.
It fell apart. It started off so strong. So, I mean, I don't know. I never really felt, I feel like there was ever the moments of like this comic being good. I never saw them pay off. So I feel like there's not a version of this that was ever going to be like great, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's such a, like, to do a space opera with hotshot pilots who don't play by the rules is like, that's a deep well of fun stuff. And they just kind of didn't, they towed the line a little bit with some interesting things.
Yeah, they just brush on something interesting, but it was just truly just a brush and they'd move on. And then.
Yeah, this stuff, oh man. Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah. But I guess we'll see if it's not actually over. I guess we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, maybe it comes back.
Take Control.
Is
a big write-up on all the different controllers you can buy for your Super Nintendo. I only brought this up because there is a specific controller here that I was fascinated by, which is the Super L5.
Whoa, that's the one I was going to talk about.
Yeah, so this little guy is a one-handed RPG controller, so you can be an indoors kid and play, you know, tens of hours of an RPG one-handed while you're like eating sandwiches and stuff. And so it's got the cross pad, start and select up top, and looks like L and R also. And then there's it's like a triggers on the back for the face buttons. And it actually rotates, so it fits your hand in the most comfortable way. I remember seeing this and being like, what the flip?
Yeah.
You can buy these on eBay.
Really?
I looked it up. I kind of want one. I remember that being surprised by the back of it, because I just pictured it would be the four ABXY buttons, mm-hmm. But it's not.
It's so cool that there's like a whole controller where it's like, I don't know if you could really do it nowadays, but maybe with RPGs still, but it's just like, I mean, I think it's a really smart idea to be able to like say, oh, we got this controller. You can use one hand. That way you can have a hand free to do whatever you want.
whatever
you want. One extra hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I found the back of it. It's these four little rectangle chiclet buttons.
That's kind of neat.
Which is, and they have, they got some nipples on them. So you know which buttons you're pressing.
You got some nipples on them. And
you can also disable the switches on the bottom or to disable buttons you don't use. So if you're just using A and B to open and close menus, we got you, bruv.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a free hand for whatever you want.
Polyamorous collective something. All right, whatever.
Okay, Bubble Bobble.
Part two.
I had some stuff to talk about this. I guess I don't. The only thing is I feel like I've got an interesting history with Bubble Bobble, was specifically. I had it on the TI-83 Plus as a game on my calculator as a kid. And it also had a plugin where I could connect a wire from my calculator to a friend's and we could play co-op.
Okay, that's cool.
And me and a friend during study hall, we just had like a campaign of Bubble Bobble we would play on our calculators. And it was like the coolest thing ever to me as a kid.
I had a study hall when I was a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was working at Best Buy, so I had some dollars.
Yeah.
And I bought a Game Boy Advance.
Nice.
And I remember there was this kid in study hall that wanted to play my Game Boy. And I was just like, no. And he just did not understand why I wouldn't let him play Game Boy.
It's your Game Boy.
It's my Game Boy.
You paid.
Get your own. I worked hard for that Game Boy.
I remember at my school, if if you didn't do band, you got a study hall. And then if you didn't do like, there's some other class, like choir or play, like if you didn't do like theater, you got a study hall. And if you didn't do band, you got a study hall. So I had two study halls because I didn't do either. So like most of my school day was study hall.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you do all your homework or you just like sleep?
I think I just did my homework. I never had to do homework, which it was nice.
That does sound nice. I just didn't do homework.
Were you one of those kids who just like figured out like how little homework can I do and still like not get in trouble?
Yeah, but I figured that out in like elementary school and never upped my working, like my workload. So I just, my grades just steadily declined.
Really? What grades were you getting like in high school?
B's. C's. Yeah, a couple of fails.
Ooh.
I graduated towards the middle of my class, which is wild because there's no excuse.
You could have done better than that.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been that much work. Like in hindsight, as an adult, I look back and I'm like, there's no way that would have been that hard.
Yeah.
It would have been, you know, like a couple hours a day tops.
Totally.
But, you know, that's hindsight, baby.
I just, and this is probably a point of privilege and grossness, but I was promised if I got straight A's, I got to go to Japan.
Oh, dude.
And so, yeah, I got fucking straight A's, man. Come on. I'm going to Japan.
You went to Japan?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It's great. It was amazing.
You buy some video games?
Yeah, I did. I did go to like, I always was obsessed with like Game & Watch, the Game & Watch things. Dude. I went to like an old Japanese game shop that just had a ton of them. It was so cool.
I gotta go to Japan.
Have you ever been?
No.
It was amazing. I truly want to go again. It was like sumo wrestling was awesome.
Fuck
yeah. Going to like fucking that weird tech city is awesome. We saw like a robot battle show.
Fuck. It was awesome. So good.
Just seeing like cool castles and temples. I mean, across the board, it was fucking sick.
Yeah, I had negative reinforcement, but there was no like if you do really well.
I always had positive reinforcement, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, I got really into jiu-jitsu. Like, I found the seediest, like, corner of the city with, like, the most U.S. Marshals in the class. And I was like, I'm taking jiu-jitsu here. There's no shit. Like, a bunch of cops and U.S. Marshals and stuff. So I'm like, this is where
where I need to go.
Yeah, this is, like, it's not a bunch of kids doing taekwondo. It's, like, you know, the story of a guy throwing a guy through a table when they're coming to arrest him and he attacked him with a knife.
Hey, that's fun.
and then I would get grounded. So I never did any belt tests.
Damn.
Because my grades sucked. And I feel like
you would get grounded a lot for your bad grades.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
And would a C justify grounding or?
I don't remember. Probably.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been enough to be a problem. And so it was like, well, you're taking away a thing that I'm actually dedicating myself to a little bit.
The taekwondo.
Jiu-jitsu, yeah. There's got to be another way, right? Like, to do this?
So that's honestly, I maybe one other shout out to parenting is when I got grounded, I wouldn't get grounded from Little Big Planet because I was being creative. And being creative was a positive thing. And that's not the thing you could be grounded from. I thought that was always really nice.
I also used the drive into Houston to the jiu-jitsu class. So if I was grounded from the internet, I would stop at an internet cafe on the way back and play Counter-Strike. So my parents may have known that I was flagrantly
around.
Go check my email. All right, we're here at Counselor's Corner, and I guess I just wanted to bring this up because Prince of Persia is back, and I love the adventure game storytelling of the Prince of Persia game for some weird reason.
Yeah.
Still, that's all.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I hate this comic. I wrote one note for this, and I wrote hate. I wrote hate. I hate this. It's filled me with hate.
I wrote, at least he isn't piloting a thing he crashes. It's a Batman Returns comic.
I don't even want to read this.
Yeah, you want to read Garfield?
Yeah, that's fucking...
So this is what, June 1993?
Yeah, okay, we're going to read a Garfield comic instead. June, what?
June 1993 comic strips.
And I'll go ahead and... National Adventure is like a shitty fucking comic. That's all you need to know. It's a shitty comic that pops up every issue. And we're done. We're done reading it. We're going to start reading Garfield. Not that Garfield's any good.
Do you want to do... I think we should do one of the Sunday ones.
Get a little beret on. Or
yeah, let's do this one. All right, yeah. So this is a Garfield comic for June 6, 1993. And the title card is, yeah, Garfield with a slate.
And he's got a little beret on.
He's got a beret on, like the Joker in the Tim Burton Batman movie. So this is tying into the Nestor's Adventures comic. It looks like this is just a bunch of panels of Garfield practicing lying that he didn't do something horrible.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Rehearsing. All right.
Didn't do
it. Who glued Odie to the ceiling?
Showtime. You want to do another one? You want to look at another one instead?
Yeah. Let's see if there's a better Garfield comic out there.
I actually remember this one with the rats while he's snoring.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy. I guess we can talk about this one. So June 13th, Garfield is taking a nap, and these rats are using, like, they are jumping into his mouth as he opens his mouth to snore. And when he does the shoe part of the honk shoe, honk me, me, me pattern.
Spits him back out.
Yeah, so it's like a little ride.
Oh.
And they're all like, yay, woohoo. There's not really a lot going on with this one either. Jim Davis must have been in his process phase.
I don't absolutely hate it, but I don't like it. I have like one comic book I distinctly remember reading as a kid from the Sunday Comics that I thought was really funny. It was just like two bunnies playing Game Boy, and a bunny asks, hey, can I borrow that? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they give him the Game Boy, and then the bunny just runs off with it. And then it's like, that's why you don't share. And I was, for whatever reason, as a kid, I just thought it was the funniest thing ever. That's really my only Sunday comic experience.
I think there might actually be one here that's worth talking about. June 27th.
The hentai one?
Yeah, so it's weird because the Tasmanian Devil's in it. There's some kind of Looney Tunes orgy. In this one...
Which one are you talking about?
The snow globe one. Where John is brushing his hair. He says, this is it, Garfield. It's a new day and I have a new hairdo. And the chicks are out.
I can't even find it, but I don't care. What do you got?
Well, so John has combed his hair into something horrible, and he sees a hot lady walk by, and he leans his head back to be like, ah, what a babe. And he's like, I just put my head in a bird bath, didn't I? Okay. You know what? Let's move on.
Okay. You know,
maybe we shouldn't have done Garfield.
Maybe I hate comics. I don't like comic books.
Maybe we should start reviewing like Akewood. From 20 years ago.
Or we should just start reading Swamp Thing.
Or The Boys. No, you don't understand. It's so edgy and cool.
We could just do a deep analysis of Watchmen, page by page.
I was at this this writer's meetup last month, and I was sitting at a table, and I don't think we've said this on the podcast, but I'm writing on a video game.
Boom.
Boom. Writing on a video game writer.
Look at that. It happened.
It happened. Again.
He's back. Oh, fuck.
So, you know, they're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm writing on a video game. And I'm like, which one? I'm like, I can't tell you. And this guy goes, oh, man, I love video games. And then it's like a table with like a bunch of women and me and this younger guy who very excitedly tells about like one of the major plot twists of Gears of War 2, which is the most comic bro, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Dom finally gets to his wife, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, because I played Gears of War 2, I know exactly what he's, and I'm like, I don't think this is going to go over like you think it is. And he's like being so blown away by that. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
I have to say something. So I told them I was playing Bloom on the play date. And he's like, video games aren't always like that. I promise. I'm playing a game where I'm a girl who just runs a flower shop and has lied to her parents because she dropped out of school to do it. And you just text with your girlfriend and grow flowers.
I wonder if this is an annoying quality of me. This probably is an annoying quality and a bad quality, but whenever I do talk to a girl, I'm just like, always like, all right, they didn't get video games weren't marketed. So it's my job to show them that video games are cool. And like, that's probably a weird basis to immediately assume that they weren't into video games growing up. But I always do feel that pulse of like, okay, I got this is the thing everyone should like. And I know that was just marketed towards guys. And I always feel this like need to like show girls that this is cool. But yeah, that's A, assuming that, oh, automatically girls cannot like video games. And B, I have to be the one to show them that it's cool. But I do feel that. I always feel like I'm like, ah, fuck. I feel like I need to convince
a
group of people that this thing is cool.
If you were talking to a girl and she's like, I don't play video games. What's the first game would you tell her about? Would it be Gears of War 2 or it'd be something else?
No, it wouldn't be. It would be, honestly, probably Paparazzi.
What game is that?
No, I mean, honestly, it's the game where you walk around and take pictures of dogs.
That sounds great. Yeah. Oh, my God. See, I would probably talk about Valhalla or maybe Her Story. You know, yeah. I would want to go to a place of like, you know, like actually interesting games that are not super bro-y.
Or honestly, fucking like Breath of the Wild or Elden Ring. Like, you're always surprised. I feel like sometimes you're like, assume like, oh, if a person's not into video games, I gotta like show them like Katamari Damacy would be a good
one. Oh my God,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you always assume that like, oh, okay, like I gotta think of like the right game that onboards people. But sometimes the right game is the game that's fucking great. Get them that game that's the fucking masterpiece.
Well, a lot of girls love fantasy. So yeah. It's, you know, I mean, if somebody's like, I love Game of Thrones, then it's like, well, shit, that guy wrote the story for Elden Ring.
Totally.
And that game's amazing.
Yeah.
Gears of War Dom story. I just watch these. It's like middle-aged, like it's like it was one woman in her like 20s. She's like a little younger, maybe like in her 20s. And there's one like middle-aged woman, and I'm just like watching their eyes glaze over. Just the worst. Like, no, then he punches into his chest. That's not what happens.
But I mean, honestly, I do feel like sometimes that is why it feels like. Games like I have, it's like, yeah, games aren't all like, because I mean, honestly, for a while, like, especially when I was like that age, games were super great. Like, every game needed blood and like gore and stuff. Like, that was like so required. And I'm cool with that shit, but like every like Fallout 3 needed to be like extra gore. Like, game, like, every
yeah, the
game,
problem is
like,
not
Dragon Age, like, it all had like this level of like edgy, like, look how cool, like, girls being sexualized. Like, it really was so geared towards guys.
I got no problem with Gears of War. I think Gears of War is all right.
And honestly, but I fucking love Dom.
Yeah, Dom's great. But like, it's the read the room, man. Consider for a moment before you talk about your strip club experience. If like maybe grandma doesn't need to hear that.
Like, yeah, I feel that. And I mean, honestly, a good segue into here, because we were talking about George R. R. Martin and a game he wrote on. This is actually a game this next game.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Fire and Ice.
Oh, you're making a joke because it's Song of Ice and Fire. That's pretty good.
Yay, pretty good segue. Yeah.
This game's neat.
Yeah.
Have you played this game, Fire and Ice?
It's like a good puzzle game, right?
Mm-hmm. It's got really nice animation from what I remember.
Ooh.
You are a wizard who can make little ice blocks and fire blocks. And I love a good puzzle game where it's very precise. Like, I can move to this place and I know I'll make an ice block at exactly this part.
I am a sucker for elements, man. Anything that involves elements, give me a puzzle based off of two elements, I'm in.
You excited for that Pixar movie where all the characters are elements?
Dude, I'm going to fucking blow up.
I'm gonna pop like a balloon. Honestly, I was not, when I heard the premise for that, I was like, guys, you just did the Soul movie where everybody's kind of like little spirit things that look like elements.
Yeah.
Why are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I've seen some of the new stuff, and it's like, this is kind of neat.
Maybe it's good. I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Spider-Verse 2.
Spider-Verse 2 is really good.
Let's go.
I need to rewatch Zootopia.
Zootopia is pretty good.
That's a good children's flick. Lego movie, Zootopia.
There's a lot of really disturbing adult Zootopia content online.
People are very attracted to the bunny's body type, apparently.
Yeah, what is up? Like, big feet and like petite? It's with like a huge head,
or it's like thick thigh. It's like thick thigh and butt.
Oh, because she's thick. Yeah,
top half is like it's like a pear shaped. That be it.
But she's like, it's like good pear shaped.
But she's a bunny.
It's fucking weird. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, frankly, I think it's disgusting.
Cartoons.
I think it's disgusting that people think that's hot.
I'm aware of it only because people shitpost that stuff to like Twitter, sure? And I wish they wouldn't. So
okay, for the record, I'm down. I totally.
Are you changing your story?
Yeah, I'll change. I'm in.
I like it too.
I'm in. Yeah.
It's one step removed from the weird horny Sonic comics.
That's as deep as you can get. Maybe not.
That stuff's weird, man. Hey, and look, I had a crush on Roxanne from a Goofy movie when I was like in fifth grade and that came out. I was like, she's cute.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I feel like just the fact that I read those comic books, like, I could see a slight glimpse of, like, if I scrolled through 100 images of Sonic porn, I would be disgusted for 99 of them, and then one of them would be like, oh, that did something. Okay, like, that feels something, and then have to block it.
You fear your reactions. You're like, the worst thing you can...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much
Should we cut this whole segment?
Yeah, possibly. Okay. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it's funny.
Our listeners are going to be like, actually, that's happened with me too.
Send it to Andy and Andy can decide.
Andy, can you put together a little package of like weird, horny comics with, you know, like animal cartoons?
Honestly, I do think 1 out of 100, I'm going to feel something.
Do you know the movie Balto?
No.
So there was like sequels to Balto and they gave the Russian goose character.
I don't even know what Balto is.
Oh, never mind. Let's just move on. We don't have to talk about it.
Oh no. Oh shit.
Is that lady goose?
Balto's these aren't even like slightly human. It's just a dog.
Yeah, it's just a dog. I was just bringing this up because I was just watching some stuff about the sequels.
Oh my god, I looked up Balto and it was immediately like weirdly sexual stuff.
Wait, what? You see?
Yeah.
Wait, what is it?
Like I'm scrolling down and about maybe like 10 columns down is a photo where like the Balto's has like a chain necklace on and it's like, man, and then if you click that it okay, we can't describe this.
It's not, yeah, pornographic. It's very
Balto,
suggestive,
like very buff, no shirt, but wearing
Balto
pants.
Is like a furry, like a, yeah, anthropomorphic. He's not a sled dog. He's I regret bringing this up. Let's go on to the next section.
Yeah, this is, I gotta go.
I think on the whole the internet's a good thing. All right. Nestor's Father's Day challenge. This is, I believe, the first time we have seen Nestor's dad.
I'll be
it
honest.
Looks like Nestor.
I think he is Nestor. It feels very much like
he's his own dad.
Yeah, I think there's like a time loop story.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah,
that's weirder than the Balto thing. So I guess the premise here is for Father's Day, they're saying like, "Hey, play video games with your dad," and they have put together some just different like ramparts in here: Dr. Mario, Tecmo, Super Bowl, and. It's got some like little tips for beginners. So maybe if dad is not a gamer pro like your dad, he's more like my dad where he doesn't play games.
Yeah.
And thinks games are weird.
And he's also you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also weirdly similar. just wearing a suit. So there's a bunch of comic panels in here of Nestor and his dad playing sports and stuff. And the thing that I noticed, this is very much like the dad of a 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's like, the dad is kind of stomping Nestor over and over.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a grown up and Nestor is just a stupid little kid. Mm-hmm. And this bummed me out because it made me think of the thing that you inevitably run into with a dad where the moment where it's like you kind of best him at a thing and you're like, oh no, my dad's going to get old.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of bummed me out because that when that moment happens, when you beat your dad at like a driveway basketball for the first time.
Yeah.
Because you're bigger than him. And in the prime, you know, like you're 18 or 20 or whatever. And you realize for the first time that it's like, my dad's going to wither away.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, that's what I thought about reading this section.
Oh, man, you're putting me in a spiral, my man.
Are you OK?
Yeah. Well, I'm 28. I'm still spry. I'm good.
You got time.
I got years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad is still around.
Your dad's still, yeah, he's still around.
Not everybody's dad is still around.
Not everyone's dad is still around. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I feel like my dad's, like, I'm getting to the age where it's like, oh, he's starting to look like a grandpa. Like, he's looking like a grandpa.
He's crossing the threshold.
He's going into that world.
Yeah, so this is very much like the premise here is the, your dad's kind of stuck in time because when you're a kid, time moves really slowly.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point when you're older where it just feels like every time you see your parents, they just get a little, a tick older.
Man, you're killing me here.
Sorry, man. All right. It's sad. That's why I wanted to share it with everybody.
No, we got to ignore that.
All right. Yes.
The,
no.
The same way I ignore my Sonic impulses. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but the past couple of years, maybe it's because I've had some people die for the first time, or like I'm just like seeing people get older, but I'm like, fuck, I am feeling that whole, like, I never felt that. I don't know if I'm like late to the game or whatever, but I'm starting to be like, oh shit, we get older.
No,
I don't love that. I don't know if like that's a 28-year-old thought. It's like a standard time to start feeling that, but I am starting to feel like, oh shit, I'm aging. I hate this.
Yeah, yeah, it's a horrible, being alive is a horrible nightmare.
Yeah.
This is why they try to get you to have kids young, so you bring someone into the world without fully comprehending what you're signing them up for against their will.
Yep.
No, I was about that age when I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because like when you're in your early 20s, you're still kind of riding that teenage high of like, yeah, I'm going to live forever. The world's my oyster. This is a fun party.
I don't know if this relates to you, but I feel like, at least for me right now, I feel like a lot of it is like that whiplash of being like, oh, suddenly time's going a lot quicker. Mm. And I've heard that 20s just tend to go fast comparatively even to your 30s. Like your 30s are even slower than your 20s. But like, I am getting to that point where I'm like, oh my God, the dial of time feels different. And it's feeling a little too quick for my taste.
Yep. You really want to make sure that you don't lose track of that. Cause then, you know, you wake up, what it's like every song ever where it's like, you wake up and it's passed you by.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're doing stuff that's fulfilling. This is getting really real.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk about Royal the contest. Speaking of really real. Yeah. This contest is going to send you to SummerSlam, WWF SummerSlam. Bret Hart is on here, The Undertaker, Macho Man Randy Savage, some fucking guy I don't know, and the Hulkster. This is great.
Yeah, this is kind of the prime of wrestling. This is,
it's like the prime of the pre-Attitude era, which is like 10 years after this. SummerSlam is a blast, man. It's I love some wrestling.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The worse it is, the better it is.
That's how I feel.
The video game. Kind of a terrible prize.
Aren't there some good wrestling games?
I don't think this is one of them.
This is not one of them. Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely... It's weird that community is so exploited by how...
Are wrestlers themselves like very exploited?
Oh my God, that yeah, too. I was talking about the people who play the video games, though. Wrestlers, I mean, you're literally destroying your body to... You know, like there's a bunch of tricks that they do as part of the, it's kind of like the evolution of carnies, right?
Yeah. So,
and it's just very destructive. There's a lot of these big guys like don't live very long. They die relatively young.
Concussions and stuff like that? Or
it's not like football or boxing where you get a ton of concussions, but you can get injured. A lot of it is just like the lifestyle and like bodybuilders, I guess. They're just not very well taken care of. A lot of them are broke. Like, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Like the American Gladiators, also kind of a bummer.
Yeah, damn.
Take care of your muscle men and women.
I know.
Love them. They won't be around forever. God damn it.
I mean, like, that's the thing that's true. Like, I always, like, I feel like as a kid, the idea of someone who's on TV can be poor, like, blew my mind. But I think that's true. Like,
it's a lot of... They exploit the labor.
Yeah.
Well, the people at the top is exploiting their labor.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan also killed Gawker, which is both funny and horrifying.
Like, could have
it. As an elder millennial, it was, because it was the Hulk lawsuit against Nick Denton and Gawker that shut that site down. So it's like the death of a decade, you know, like in 2015, 2016. It was like that and like the election, the Trump election was like the, wow, the 2000s are 100% over. Hulk, you killed him.
All right, top 20.
Top 20.
You can just write off the top threes as we normally do, but top Super NES games is Mario Kart.
Hey.
Super Street Fighter.
Hey.
Or just Street Fighter. And Legend of Zelda, which beat Street Fighter 2 has been number one for quite a while, and finally Zelda dethroned.
Just barely.
The fighter.
500 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game Boy, Super Mario Land.
Bam.
Number two is Metroid 2, Return of Samus. Top of the heap, Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins.
Bam.
It's fine.
Number three.
The road trip softened me. I now like Game Boy games.
Yeah. And I am still kind of medium on NES games, but these top three are pretty good. Tecmo Super Bowl, number three. Yeah. Legend of Zelda, number two. Mario Bros. 3, number one.
If those were your only NES games, you'd be living pretty well.
Yeah, that's not a bad top three list.
No, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to bring up the Pack Watch really quick. There, I mean, these are previews of unfinished games, so it's kind of like take it or leave it. The cool thing that I saw, though, I think this might be the first mention of Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Have they talked about it before? Because they say a new Super NES Metroid game is coming.
Hmm.
And to that I say, fuck yes, we should play Super Metroid.
That's back to us, like, the trying to, like, do stuff for this. Yeah. I'm down. I want to beat Super Metroid. Maybe I'll have a guide with me. And just listen to the guide and just blow through it. That sounds fun.
No shame using a guide. I may actually try to do it blind to see how well my knowledge holds up.
Are we committing to this on podcast?
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's do it. All right. Commit. We're going to beat Super Metroid.
I mean, on the outside, it's a 6-hour run. Yeah. On the inside, it's closer to 2 to 3. So,
and the inside, what does that mean?
Like the fastest you could beat the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the... the pornographic ending, the swimsuit ending, is to get Samus out of her suit, you need to beat the game under 3 hours, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Man, what a great game. Nice. What a vibe.
What a vibe. All right.
The other cool thing here is I mentioned earlier there is a Super Nintendo sprite sheet, and way at the end of Pack Watch here, they have some T-Rex sprites from the Super Nintendo Jurassic Park game.
Yeah.
And I just think it's super neat. You can actually see, remember we were talking about the 256 color palette?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there on the right in this screen. So this is like a software window of like old pixel graphic design software. It looks fucking janky.
Yeah.
I would never want to use something like this. But yeah, it has the color swatches right there. So, and it looks like it's not just T-Rex colors. It looks like it's the whole game world because there's like blues in there for water and greens for trees. I thought this was super neat.
Man, I feel like that would be very nostalgic to like boot up some like out of date like Photoshop style stuff. Like that kind of stuff weirdly has its own flavor to it.
I've been for research purposes. I really want to get a copy of Macromedia Director. I don't even know if it runs. This is what they built stuff like Myst out of. So it's kind of like a HyperCard FMV software thing from the 90s.
Huh.
And man, I gotta try that out.
That sounds fun. Right. Okay. Well, I think we're kind of at the end here.
We did it. We did it.
End of the thing.
Fortress Clear song.
So we did it. We finished the volume. We normally rate
something
out of 10.
Magazine is over.
To kind of like finish things off, but we're trying to think of new stuff because that's kind of died out a little bit.
Yeah, we found something really cool. We online, there is this old, like, you remember back in the day, like live journal quizzes and stuff.
Yeah, like a BuzzFeed quiz or whatever. Yeah. It's like, what Hogwarts house are you?
Yeah, this one is which volume of Nintendo Power are you? And I was shocked, and I sent it to you, and I was like, maybe we should do this instead of a rating.
So we decided we would kind of like go through it and answer our questions and see which volume we are.
Yeah, so let me pull the quiz up here.
Okay, yeah, I'm pulling it up as well.
Should we take turns asking questions?
Yeah, I think we can just blow through it and go through the questions.
All right, here's the first question.
Yeah.
Dr. Light or Dr. Wily?
Oh, I would be Dr. Light.
Okay. I'll go with Dr. Wily just to be contrarian.
Oh, you
want to be evil.
You son of a bitch.
Yes, no, that's definitely okay.
Okay, the next one is, do you think Howard is a villain, a hero, or just your average Joe who you relate to?
Villain, hero. We established he's a villain, right?
That's how we feel.
Yeah, so I'm going to put villain.
Okay, I'll put villain as well. I think you can't really go against that.
Was making Kirby pink a mistake? Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Just to be contrarian.
What is in Mario's pocket? Some flint, a couple loose coins, or a knife?
I'm going to go knife.
I think some flint. I think Mario's an empty man full of nothing.
Okay. Or maybe he's just not keeping his ID on him, so if something happens, they won't find out about his polyamorous collective. And this one just says, "What?" And the last question just says, what's your astrological sign?
I'm a Taurus.
All right, I'm an Aquarius. Oh, no. There's one more after this.
Yeah, okay, there's one. It just says Mary fuck kill Donkey Kong, Mario, and Link.
This is offensive. I can't. These ancient drop down menus. Fuck Mary kill. It was a Link, Donkey Kong, and
Mario.
And Mario. Okay. I'm gonna marry Link, fuck Donkey Kong, and kill Mario.
I'm gonna kill Mario. I'm gonna marry Donkey Kong because he'll protect me, and I'm gonna fuck Link.
All right. Oh, do you want to do it? You got more?
Yeah. This next one says.
This just keeps going. No. What is it?
This one. Next one just says, "Do you want to take a hit of this?" And it's just a picture of a guy holding a joint.
It's weird. On my quiz, it's a picture of one of the pills from Dr. Mario. So I'm going to put yes.
Yeah, I'll say yes as well. Sure thing.
Pills.
I'm fucking down.
All right. And I'm going to hit submit. Oh, weird. You are the Golden Sun issue of Nintendo Power Advance.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Wait, which one
Fall
are you?
Fall 2001.
Yeah, well, I got you. You are Super Mario 64.
Fuck yes!
That's actually a pretty good one.
That's what I'm talking
Damn.
About.
Yeah, you answered pretty correctly. What about your personality do you think reflects the Mario 64 volume of Nintendo Power?
I like to run free, and every time I jump three times, the third jump's really high.
I think I'm like Golden Sun in that I'm just a boy.
I was going to say, when you lean in, it's like the perspective shifts, which is a Golden Sun deep cut.
I've never played it.
The RPG has like it's all pre-rendered sprites, but like in the combat it does little zooms and stuff.
Cool.
That was incredibly dorky of me to say that, but not as dorky as Nintendo's PR team in the 90s.
Damn. All right, well, not sure if that was better or worse than Raiden something, but we're figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if whoever made this quiz did any more quizzes.
We're just doing quizzes from now on.
Which Nintendo strategy guide are you? Now You're Playing with Podcast is brought to you by the Podcast Power Players Power Team. Music by Games Cameron. Find back episodes, send us emails, and do cool stuff at our website, nowyourplaying.com. It's your with an E, because we know how to do grammar.
Nintendo PR team, if any during this trade show, if any journalists come up to you and say, "Hey, what do you have to say about the Sega Mega Blast Power?" What's your response going to be to that?
The Super Nintendo processor may only run at 2 megahertz, but you have to account for.
No, we're not going to give like a nerdy, weird response like that. You're going to say, "Hey, what's your fly down?" Oh, just kidding, blasted. So something along those lines. So could you give me, you know, you want to burn them back. So what do you got?
Sewer Shark is not very well acted, but there is a lot of data on every
CD. Okay, you're putting me to sleep.
Blasted.
Okay, that's pretty good. Sega's on to something. The word blast is really cool. So you just want to shoot blast right back at them. So if someone says blast at you, you just throw it back. You say, "Oh, we got double the blast. We got triple the blast."
I think I'm picking up what you're throwing. Okay, yeah. So you're putting down.
Make sure you use more blast in the response.
Sega's doing a lot of things right. You have to understand their games are fun.
No. No. You're fired and you're blasted.
Oh.
You're blasted. By that I mean you're fired.